Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When someone is murdered, the common theme is usually the spouse did it. Detectives immediately focus on the husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, right? But what happens when evidence points another direction and it's completely ignored? We will go through the case and go through the evidence, and I'll let you decide. Is Sandra Melgar guilty of murder? Throughout human history, there have been stories. Stories that chill us to the bone, leaving us questioning the world around us and remind us that truth is often stranger than fiction. These tales echo through time, whispers of unexplained disappearances, restless spirits, and crimes so baffling they defy logic. Tonight, we peel back the layers of reality to uncover the darkness lurking just beneath the surface. Was it fate, chance, or something far more sinister? Journey with us as we delve into the mysterious, the supernatural, and the true crimes that have haunted our collective consciousness. This is All Things Mysterious, where the shadows hold secrets, and every story is a puzzle waiting to be solved. Sandra, aka Sandy Melgar, and her husband, Jim, had been celebrating their 32nd wedding anniversary on December 22nd, 2012. They ran some errands, including picking up some drinks for that night and the next day, as they had planned on drinking a little and they had family coming over for the holidays. According to their family, the couple were best friends, rarely arguing, very much in love, and happily married. They got home sometime between 10 p.m. and midnight, got in their jacuzzi with some drinks, and talked for a couple of hours. At some point, their dogs were barking, so Jim got out, and so did Sandy. She put on a robe and put on some lotion, but that is the last she remembers before waking up the next day.
Never heard of this one.
It's a really interesting case, and it brings a lot of things to light about investigative procedures, I think, when we get a lot further into it. It also makes you think a lot about how cases are handled when someone has certain medical conditions. And I'm not going to go into it too far, but Sandy does have some medical conditions. And I think because she has those, she was not taken seriously. But at the same time, she could have used those to her advantage, if you want to look at it that way.
So in other words, this case is probably going to piss me off.
It could go either way, to be honest with you.
Well, it's been a while since we recorded, so I'm ready.
I'm ready. Around 4:30 p.m. the next day, as planned, her husband's family arrived for dinner, but no one was answering the door. Thinking maybe they just didn't hear the door, they tried the garage and went inside. This is when they heard Sandy upstairs crying for help. She was locked inside the bathroom closet by a chair under the door handle on the outside. Her hands were tied, and she had both urinated and defecated on herself. At the same time, they found Jim in the master bedroom closet, dead. He was nude, had been stabbed over 31 times, had blunt force trauma all over, and had also been tied up. His family called the police, and the investigation began.
So, that looks very suspicious. I mean, I assume they get into later, like, she comes up with some kind of excuse, I assume.
Yes and no. I'll get into that here in just a minute. But, setting up the scene, so, the way their house is built, there is a big
bathroom closet that Sandy was found in. Keep in mind, there is a chair perched underneath, like pushed up against underneath the door handle so that she couldn't get out of the closet, right? And then Jim, her husband, was found in a separate closet in the master bedroom.
So, I mean, obviously that kind of rules her out as being the murderer. I wouldn't say it necessarily rules her out of being involved, but because there's no way that she could put the chair to lock her in the bathroom.
You would think.
I mean, I get. Now I kind of want to try that because, like, maybe you could get like a. Oh, no, because you couldn't even do that because then there'd be a rope.
Well, and that's the thing. She was also tied up. Like, her hands were tied together.
Yeah.
And she also had, like, urinated and defecated on herself.
I mean, the tying up part, you can tie yourself up if you try. It's not impossible. But there's just no way that she could have locked herself in the bathroom by herself. So, I mean, that rules her out at least killing him alone.
That's what most people seem to believe.
I mean, was it on, like, the first story, or?
I believe it was the second.
Okay. So, saying if it's first story, you know, she could probably, like, put the chair in front of the door and then, you know, go around and climb through the window or something.
Maybe. I'll get into some of her health issues here in a minute, because she had several.
Oh, and I just want to point out, Jordan knows me so well, because before we started recording the segment, she asked if I listened to anything she said.
I did. I had to double check. I was like, were you even paying attention?
And then proceeded to give me a rundown of everything she just said.
I had to check.
I got really bad ADHD, so it's hard to focus for long segments of time.
To be fair, you do the same thing to me.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm interested to see where this goes. I mean, to me right now, on the surface, it doesn't seem like she's involved. So there's going to need to be some pretty significant evidence to change that fact, I think. But we'll see. You've surprised me sometimes.
Of course, Sandy was brought in for questioning. The problem is, Sandy has no recollection of the night because she suffers from epilepsy and has grand mal seizures. Not only that, but she has lupus and thyroid problems, often having to use a wheelchair. It's extremely common for people after a seizure to not have any memory of the event. Sometimes they eventually remember it, but more often than not, those hours are completely lost. And she is fairly sure she had a seizure due to how her body felt and her memory loss. But investigators don't like that answer. Immediately, Sandy is suspect number one in Jim's murder. Of course, there is evidence against this. There was both unknown male and female DNA found on Jim's body, a knife found in the jacuzzi, a blouse that did not belong to Sandy in the jacuzzi as well, and Sandy had no defensive wounds nor any blood on her. But because she cannot remember anything that happened that night, she is suspect number one.
I think we've established this before. I am no detective. But seriously, this seems like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, let's break it down. So, for the first part, you know, she occasionally has to use a wheelchair, which means she's not the strongest.
Correct.
Which means she would not have the physical strength to stab and beat somebody.
Yep.
And, you know, it does take quite a bit of force to stab someone.
Especially 31 times.
Yeah. Not that I've ever tried, but, you know, it, not yet, at least. That's not a confession. But, so physically, I don't think she would have the ability to. I get that she was in the house. She should know what was going on. I don't necessarily buy that she doesn't know anything about what happened, which I'm not, that's why I'm not going to rule out the fact that, you know, she didn't hire somebody, or, you know, she wasn't having an affair or something and set the murder up, something like that. That's still undetermined. I definitely don't think she actually physically murdered him, but I mean, and maybe that's what their cops are angling at there. Maybe they believe that she knows the man and woman who actually killed. I don't know, but I really hope that's what they're thinking, because otherwise they're ignoring a whole bunch of evidence just to, you know, focus on her. But where is this at?
That's a good question, because I already forgot. I don't remember, actually. I think it happened in Texas.
That kind of makes sense. There's two places that it would not surprise me that this happened, Texas and Florida.
Yeah, I feel like it happened in Texas. I actually can't remember.
Yeah, speaking of that, we haven't talked about Florida in a while.
No, we haven't. Poor Florida.
No, we haven't pissed them off in a while. Anyways, Florida sucks.
The house was also ransacked and things were missing, but oddly, a lot of expensive things that were in plain sight were not taken, like some of Sandy's jewelry, a high-end camera, TVs, and prescription medication. Detectives believe Sandy set the scene up to look like a robbery and went as far as finding a way she could have locked herself in the closet and even moved the chair themselves to prove it. Her motive? Jim's life insurance policy and the fact that she is a Jehovah's Witness. The way I understand it, in that religion, the only way out of marriage is either death or proving your spouse has been cheating on you, and even that doesn't guarantee you good terms with the church. So they believe Sandy murdered Jim and staged it as a home intrusion to stay in good faith with the church and collect his life insurance. But does the evidence even follow this theory? No.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I'm sorry, that just makes me laugh. Texas, probably one of the most religious states in the U.S., is trying to say that she killed to stay in good graces with the church.
I will say I know a couple people who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and it is like a very, very serious ordeal.
Well, yeah.
And I get that. But from everything that all of her family says, they were really happy. They had really good incomes. They were celebrating their anniversary. Like, they were super happy. He had a decent life insurance, which is great, but they weren't hurting for money.
But here's the thing that, you know, what's probably just as bad or worse than, you know, getting a divorce in the church's eye? Murder.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand the logic in that. You know, she wants to stay in good graces with the church, so instead of getting divorced, she decides to murder her husband. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, let's get rid of the church aspect for a second. If she believes in God, which I assume she does, since that's why she's in the religion, it doesn't matter if the church finds out about it, because in their mind, God will know about it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't logically follow that, you know, she wanted out of the marriage so bad that she decided to kill him, but then she staged it because she wanted to stay in good graces with the church, even though she wouldn't be, you know, it doesn't logically follow.
Not to mention the fact that the evidence just, it doesn't track. She had no blood on her. And I'm sorry, but like, I don't think there's any way that you could like pee and poop yourself unless something legitimately did happen to you. I really don't.
I don't know. I'm getting older now and that's becoming more of a possibility every day.
Like, I know people who legitimately have seizure disorders and that does happen to them. And yeah. It's horribly embarrassing and they hate it. But that's like the only reason, in my opinion, that would make sense as to why that would happen. There was no blood on her. And then you've got this other evidence of the knife being found in the jacuzzi, as well as this blouse that supposedly did not belong to her. I don't think they necessarily could prove it. But nobody recognized the blouse as hers. She was like, that's not mine.
Honestly, I don't know if anybody will really could recognize any of my clothing. And, you know, there's stuff that I own that I probably haven't worn in years. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't really trust that it wasn't her type thing, because, you know, how would anyone really know? And you're going to kind of have to take her word at that point. So, but whether it's hers or not doesn't necessarily prove one way or another. Now, the fact that they found, you know, unknown male and female DNA, that's the one that I don't think they can really resolve. And maybe you talk about it later, I don't know, but it seems like at this point they're kind of just ignoring that.
They pretty much do. They pretty much just completely ignore it entirely.
And if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you know very well that I usually try to take the opposite approach as Jordan. It usually makes better content, I think. However, in this instance, I don't think I can do that, because unless there's more evidence that I'm just not seeing, I don't see how they could, you know, jump from she murdered her husband. And the reasoning that they're giving, you know, it just doesn't make sense. So, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think they screwed up on this one. But it is Texas, so it doesn't really surprise me at all.
On August 7th, 2017, Sandy's trial began. She was charged with first-degree murder. Her family never once believed she would be found guilty. But on August 24th, the jury unanimously voted that Sandra Melgar was guilty of murder. Her lawyer did ask for a new trial based on insufficient evidence, but it was denied. As of now, Sandy will be in prison until 2031, when she is eligible for parole. It is still widely believed that she is innocent.
Yeah, this case is dumb. I think we can all agree that the cops screwed up on this one. And we've talked about this before. I just do not like this when they just, you know, put someone in prison and there's doubt that the person actually committed the crime. Because it's such an injustice to the victim's family, you know, just to arrest someone and charge them for a crime. Just because they get arrested and charged with a crime does not mean they actually did it. And I've said this before, but if anyone in my family gets murdered, I want to know who actually did it, not the person that can get convicted for it.
Well, exactly. And we've said this, I don't know how many times, on different cases when we've put away somebody that we believe is, you know, the wrong person. That's not helping anybody out. The wrong person who literally killed people is most likely still out there unless they died somehow.
Yeah. We talked about it in the Austin murders. At this point, it's really hard, like, to actually trust the police to do their job. And, you know, I'm not talking about any of the current events that are going on. But just in general, I mean, how many cases have we talked about where it's just the police doing a shitty job of doing their job? Detectives investigating and putting someone in jail that doesn't belong, or, you know, destroying a crime scene and not being able to ever find the person who did it. It's just, to me, it's such a simple thing. Do your job or find someone who will do it. Because I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, all detectives are incompetent. Because we know that there are some good ones. We've talked about them before. In particular, the sheriff in when the Ken Rex McElroy case. He was a good cop. The detective in the Albuquerque or New Mexico or what was it?
Yeah.
The bone collector case.
The bone collector.
Yeah. She was definitely a good detective. Or an officer. I don't know. I can't remember if she was a detective.
I think she was a detective. Wow, I can't say that word today.
So I'm not going to sit here and say that all detectives are bad, but god damn, these ones that are bad give them such a bad name. Because yes, in my opinion, these detectives fucked up severely. Understatement of the year, but... And I just don't understand how they could, like, live with themselves. In my opinion, there's not enough evidence to prove that she did it. There's too many things that don't make sense. There's too many, you know, discrepancies that never seem to get answered. And the fact that, like, a judge and jury looked at this and said, yep, she must be guilty, is just baffling to me.
Well, it does, because, I mean, I can understand in some cases knowing in your core that somebody's guilty and trying to convict them based off of that. But, like, I just don't get that from this at all.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like,
you still have to go off of actual evidence.
We as humans are flawed. We can think down to our core that something is true, but that doesn't mean that it's actually true. There's so many examples I could cite right now. I don't really feel like pissing off the whole world, but, you know, just because you feel strongly about something does not mean that it's true. And that's one thing, like, you know, you've got to be able to, like, adapt and change based on the evidence that you get. And that seems to be, like, in a lot of these cases, the detectives just can't do that. They get set on what they think is the truth, and no matter what they see or come up with, it's not going to change their mind.
No, they'll use the evidence to skew the narrative.
Yeah. Well, and then they'll just choose and pick the evidence and, you know, to fit their narrative. I mean, we've talked about this before, confirmation bias. I mean, that's essentially what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step in being able to adapt and overcome confirmation bias is to understand that you have confirmation bias. As long as you know, you can kind of work around it, basically. But it's just like these detectives don't want to admit that that's the case. And I just don't understand it. Like I said before, I would rather know the truth. And I'll even go one step further. I'd rather know the truth and, you know, that person never get put in jail than to have an innocent person put in jail.
I agree. Because at least then we know for sure that the wrong person isn't in jail.
Yeah. Well, and that, and then you can do vigilante justice, but that's another conversation.
Fair.
But they screwed up here. I think that's the only conclusion that we can come to. And if you're listening and you're one of the detectives who investigated this case, shame on you. You know what? That's what I want to do in a future episode. I want to find like a jury person who is on one of these cases and just talk to them and find out what the hell they were thinking.
That would be an interesting conversation to have.
The juries are supposed to convict based on the evidence that they're presented. And, you know, a lot of times the prosecutors will present evidence that's only in favor of their case, obviously. And then if the defense attorney's shitty, then, you know, they don't always get a second opinion, basically. But still, I don't know. This is crazy. The good thing is she didn't get the death penalty, but still over 20 years in prison. And even at this point, even if she gets out now, I mean, that's still, what, 12 years, 10 years in prison? Because it happened in, what, 2012?
Yes. And so, she was sentenced in 2017.
Oh, okay. So she's only been in prison for 7 years, which is still a long time, but that trial took a long time. It's interesting. Usually they don't take that long. But anyways, that's all I got on that one. Oh, by the way, it's Houston, and Houston PD detectives suck.
So, do you believe Sandy is guilty? Is it really always the spouse? We must learn to follow the evidence, whatever direction it takes.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.